All right, welcome everyone. Let's do roll call. Jill, we know she can't make it. Ariel.
Here.
Jennifer.
Here.
James.
Here.
Craig, no. Sophia, no. Miranda.
Here.
Tariq, no. Riley said he can't make it. Marshall.
Here.
Zach.
Here.
Samuel. I guess he's not here. And we have quorum. So, Marshall, we don't have a second co-chair because Sophia's not here. Miranda, do you want to fill in for her?
Sure.
Okay. So, Marshall, would you like to call the meeting to order?
Yeah, I call to order the April meeting of the Complete Streets Coordinating Council.
Excellent. Zoom reminders that we're not using chat for anything substantive. Of course, we can't use breakout rooms and use the raise hand function and try to keep your camera on if you're a member. Minutes, March meeting minute approval. Does anyone have any corrections or edits to the March minutes? If you read them. Okay, so that means there's consensus support to approve the minutes. Marshall, do you want to move to approve?
Yeah, I'm moved to approve the March meeting minutes.
And Miranda?
And I second.
Perfect. Review agenda, Ryan.
Yes, so today we'll have a follow-up to last month's Safe Streets mini grant program with some additional information and consideration of some of the projects that were discussed but not approved for funding last month. Ben Elias from City of Tucson, Department of Transportation and Mobility, will be giving an update on the major streets and routes update effort that's underway. Marshall will be presenting for discussion and consideration for approval a letter from the CSCC regarding the Plan Tucson. We also had an item that Sophia was going to lead on sidewalks that we're going to postpone to a future meeting. And then followed after that, we'll have CSCC Hub. And then during the wrap-up and the future agenda items, we will have we'll just have a brief discussion of electing chairs at the next month's meeting since we are due for an election. So that's the agenda.
Thanks, Ryan. So the first thing we have before we launch into our topics is call to the audience. Are there any audience members that wanted to speak? Okay. So we'll just move on to the next topic, which is Safe Streets mini grant program recommendations. Andrea. Or Andrea. Not sure.
Yeah, it'll for the Safe Streets mini grant follow-up. Yes, it'll be me. Good evening, everyone. I'll start by sharing my screen. Okay, can everyone see my screen?
Yep, thanks.
Okay, great. Thank you. So again, I'm Andrea Altamirano with the Safe Streets mini grant program. What we'll be covering today is an update on the recommendations that we made to award and an amendment that I made. It's an additional detail that we'll discuss. An overview of the budget implications. This was a question that was asked by the council, so we want to make sure we address the questions and then revisit the two voting options that we talked about at the last month. At last month's meeting. So firstly, I updated the slide that I presented at last month's meeting, specifically the table, to reflect a project that I noticed was inadvertently left off, but it was still considered in the budget. I noticed the oversight when I was looking at my Excel spreadsheet and just realized that I transposed the numbers incorrectly to the table and I missed this. So I really apologize for this error. The good news is that the budget still remains almost exactly the same. It's under budget. The top 10 ranking applications are still the same recommendations with the addition of the last project, which is number 10, that I'll talk about a little further. The other changes, part of the reason this happened is we originally, when we proposed the top ranking applications, you'll notice on the second line there, Garden District, we combined both of those projects. They were all high ranking. So one of the applications ranked 9 and 2. And we just combined them because they made more sense to put them together west of Columbus because they're asking for very similar traffic calming features. And it's more feasible to, put projects together so that they can get implemented together. So that was part of the mishap that happened there, I guess you can say, for lack of better terms. And then the other thing is that South Park, the first item on the table there, they are really close. They're short two signatures for completing their neighborhood traffic management program steps in getting approval for the three for the speed humps. There's actually 9 speed humps. So the budget's actually a little less. It comes out to 50,400. So I made that adjustment when I fixed the what I transposed and sent over to the table. And then the final thing is that last one that I eliminated or left out is a neighborhood that's not named. But the project is on Gardner Street and Cottonwood. They requested 3 speed humps, and our recommendation is about $21,000 for that neighborhood. I do want to point out that they're also high on the TEPI score. It's a 95.51%. So we are still, as you notice, on the estimated cost, the cost estimate. We come out at $448,400, still under budget by $1,600 for the correction there. This is the application. I provided detail of each of the projects, so I just wanted to do the same for the Gardner Street Cottonwood application. As you can see, they're in Ward 3. Their TEPI score again is a 95.51, so they're all high. They are experiencing, excuse me, speeding and safety concerns. They have a blind curve on Gardner that has caused some accidents, and drivers tend to yield, not to run the yield signs. So they're very supportive of the speed hump, so much so that they had already started this initiative with NTMP for speed humps. So that I just wanted to give you an overall idea of what that particular project is. And also to answer the questions that were brought by the council last month related to the implications of approving projects that go over budget. So if you vote for project for if you vote for going over budget, some of the things that can happen is that it may limit available funding for future projects within the 10-year cycle. Remember that this past vote last month was for the second cycle. And we are just now starting the third cycle of the Safe Streets mini grant. So one of the implications is that it could limit available funding for future projects. The other is that future costs could rise due to tariffs or inflation, affecting project affordability. And also, I just wanted to may mention that last year the council did vote on a budget that was slightly over the $450,000, and we actually came in under budget of we came under by $8,809. Fortunately, the construction costs were below what was estimated, and I believe they probably also came in under budget because projects were combined with 411 projects. And this year, with this phase, there aren't as many projects to combine with 411 because of all of the work the city has already done. In considering these implications that we just talked about, the other options to consider was adding projects from each ward, which would be Ward 2 and Ward 4. Again, we do meet the median for the 60% median that the council requested if you approve any of these projects. Option 1, which is our option 2A here, includes all wards, and it includes Old Fort Lowell with an EPI score of a low 1.92%. And the next one, that's the biggest difference, is just there's two in Ward 2 that we're talking about considering. The other one is Rolling Hills, and their EPI score is a little bit higher at low moderate with a 20.51%. The difference is very similar with either one of the two options. The total budget, you go over about $68,400 for about $69,000. So it's very similar. Both of them leave you at 86% of projects in high or medium high equity areas. So those are the main differences in those two projects. So just to provide a quick review, first, I really want to preface the conversation in saying that our goal is to prioritize projects in areas that have higher concentration transportation vulnerable populations, right? As we're moving forward with the Move Tucson equity data. And really, equity is the guarantee of fair treatment, access, opportunity, and advancement, while at the same time, we're striving to identify and eliminate barriers that have prevented the full participation of some neighborhoods. For example, being able to acquire things like traffic calming features through paying themselves through NTMP. So with that being said, and after reviewing some of the possibilities and the implications of going over budget, if we look at the table here, do I have that? I'm sorry. We look at the table, it's really dependent on how you feel, what you would like to vote on. But we know that Old Fort Lowell is in a low rankings area. They have already received funding for most of the projects that I showed you on the slides last month. That's the biggest differences. And Rolling Hills does not have funding, and they are more of a low moderate ranking. So they rank higher than Old Fort Lowell. So really, it's up to the committee or the commission to the council, I'm sorry, to decide whether you want to vote on either of the two options and go over budget or not. So this opens it up for discussion. I'd like to address any questions you may have. And also, I request that if you would approve that minor change that I made on the first option, that includes Gardner Street project, that last project, and then decide if you want to amend your vote from last time and vote on one of the other two options that we provided. And then one last final note is that since this is equity driven for future years when we do this, I just wanted to mention that, I can go just strictly based on the scores and the ranks, and not really worry too much about is each ward included. So I'd like just kind of to confirm that so that next year it just flows easier if I propose anything else that as alternates that they're either ranking top ranking scores, or if you want me to be selective of the wards, I can do that as well.
Okay, let's open it up to questions or comments, and then we'll review kind of you had a set of things that we need to make sure we get agreement on. Miranda.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, personally, just right off the bat, I would say for me, the options that I would want to consider would be either option one or 2B. I would like to take 2A off the table just because of that old Fort Lowell having already received funding and being in a low EPI ranking. I think that sort of skims that off the top for me. I guess where my thought is landing is that it seems to me to be a question of if we're going to spend more money now or be concerned about trying to reserve funds for future years. And I guess coming from the nonprofit space where there's a lot of sort of urgent action being taken to make sure that funds aren't being clawed back and that we're spending money, I just wonder about the value of spending the money now, just given the uncertain future that we might find ourselves in. But it's just, I'm not sure that I have the answer, but that's where my mind is.
Thanks, Miranda. Marshall?
Yeah, I was just gonna ask, is this gonna become, are we gonna keep the kind of same rules, the same kind of framework we've created going forward?
The framework for decision making or which
Yeah,
framework?
for the decision making, how we're doing the scoring and everything like that. We're not revisiting that yearly, right?
No, we're not revisiting that. It's pretty much set through the Tucson Move Equity data and information.
Okay.
It's set.
Because I was thinking if we keep it the same, so we have we keep it under budget now, next in the outlying years, we might have more money to put to some other to other places like Ward 2 that or the old Fort Lowell sits on that are in lower equity zones if we have money left over from these beginning years. So I think I'm okay with kind of like option one right now.
Other thoughts? James?
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to say that I think option one makes the most sense to me. I think just addressing the need where the need is highest seems to have a simplicity to it that makes sense. Trying to adhere too much to the all wards thing seems not the right way to go. As for the budget thing, I think both Marshall and Miranda have good points. It's just how much do we want to bet on? So if we're trying to if the fear is in the future funding will be taken away or something like that, I guess do we believe that or think that with enough credence to risk having less money in the future? I guess I would come down on not going over budget this year. Thank you.
Before we go to Ariel, any of you in the city, do you have any comments or thoughts about the level of uncertainty or the, really regarding the status of the budget in the future?
I'll let Patrick interrupt me if I get anything wrong, but I don't think we have any reason to be concerned about there being a loss of funding in Prop 411 for Safe Streets mini grants. I think it's just more just sort of general uncertainty about revenues and costs going forward.
And construction costs might also,
I
who
mean,
knows? Okay.
we don't know.
Patrick or any other city staff want to weigh in on this? You've been called out, Patrick.
Hey, Tony. Hey, everybody. Yeah,
Okay.
to say our revenue's been running a little bit above our projection, so we do, and our costs in that first year were a little bit lower, so we have a little bit in the bank. Ultimately, it's a decision of this group because everything we spend now is going to, limit our ability probably in years 9 and 10 to install more. So the funding's there. We're kind of just taken from future opportunities for investment. But if there are high priorities now that make sense that we want to get out on the street, then that's really up to the members of the CSCC.
And it sounds, Matt Miranda's comment, more concerned about costs moving forward than funding getting cut. Ariel, and then Zach.
So I'm curious, the potential other projects in 2A and 2B are ranked 14 for Old Fort Lowell and then 19 and 29, which, if we were looking at the higher equity score project for Ward 2, that's ranked 19, which seems like a big jump from the already approved projects to, 10 projects and then ranked number 19. So I'm wondering if there are projects that are better aligned in terms of the equity scoring that wouldn't get funded if we did decide to go with 2A or 2B, if that makes sense. Like, what are the projects that are, 11 through 18 that might have higher equity scores that we would be overlooking if we just did decide to do the all wards route?
Definitely. I do have that information for you, because I anticipated that might be a question. So these are the next two high-ranking neighborhoods. Number 11 is Cherry Avenue. They're in Ward 5, and they're a moderately high percentage. And they are actually an application from 2024 that came in at a higher ranking when we combined them. And their estimated cost for their projects would be $42,000. And then number 12 is Sunnyside Neighborhood at $75,000. And both of these are in Ward 5. And as you can see, they're high ranking. So we again would be at 100% in approving projects that are in high equity areas. The additional cost, if you were to decide to approve these two instead, is $117,000. So we'd go, I'm sorry, there's a typo. It's $115,400 over budget. The grand total would be 565,400. So, I mean, you could choose just one as an alternate instead, or both, or none.
So thank you. That's super helpful to follow up on that. If the explicit direction we've received is that the equity ranking is what should be prioritized, and that the having projects in all wards is not part of the explicit direction that we've received, and I would have trouble justifying choosing a lower equity ranked project over either of the alternates.
Zach and then Miranda.
Thank you. I guess I just had I'm leaning more towards option one, but I just wanted to clarify, even if we approved like option 2B, or it would still it would still take a while for for the project to be scoped out, the materials to be gathered, people to be hired, cost, so any material cost or inflationary pressures, might still occur, right? Because it's not like we approve it and then it happens next month. I guess I'm just trying to figure out timelines and
Yeah,
whatnot too.
with the exception of the South, the first one that we that you voted on, South Park, that one will get done very quickly because they have their within a month or two because they have
Sure.
their NTMP process already moving, and we've it's in it's well, within the ability to start it quickly. The others, I mean, like this last year, we installed everything by the end of summer, December, with the exception of one of them. So I imagine that these projects will be very similar. We'll start working on
Okay.
implementation and talking to the residents to make sure they collect signatures and to make sure that they're able to do that. And we vet them through the NTMP process for agency approval. So there's about a 2 to 3 month gap to do all of that work if the residents are able to collect those signatures. So yeah, by this end of this year, we should be able to have all of these implemented again.
Thanks. I think I'm still more with Ariel on going with option one, just based on equity, and I can't predict the economics of the future barely next month, so.
So to clarify, you agreed by consensus on option one last meeting with, but this one, the only difference is that with that minor change in the budget. So you're saying the kind of the new option one, you agree.
Yes,
Yeah. Okay.
the new option one. Sorry, to
No, that's
clarify.
fine. Miranda?
Yeah, I support option one as well. I think, further consideration of the all wards being represented, it just doesn't seem like a sustainable approach, especially since ward boundaries do get redrawn like throughout the years and things like that. And I support the equity and need-based approach. And I don't like the idea of bumping other projects ahead of higher need areas just in order to get the representation from all wards. And yeah, I totally hear what you're saying, Zach, about costs are uncertain as it is. I guess just where I was thinking was, in later years, like who knows how much more inflation or tariffs might impact costs, and perhaps our money won't go as far, a couple years from now. But I also think that yeah, I feel really comfortable moving forward with option one with the change.
Ryan, can you clarify where the request to have balance from all wards came from?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I added that was on the previous slides that was used as a template that I think we got lucky last for the pilot project that there were projects in each ward. Because we had also taken some from the neighborhood traffic management program existing that were combined. I think that's what was proposed initially. So it just happened to work out that way. But it was on the slides and it said, there was one from each ward. So I was just going based off of that information. So it, yeah, that's where that mostly I think came from.
And Tani, if I may,
Yeah.
sorry to interject, just mention that, yeah, when we set the program up, we were kind of clear and intentional in that we were not trying to do a ward equality approach and set it up that we were mandating that they had to be spent in every ward. Rather, it was going to take that equity approach, but we, kind of wanted to offer that to the commission to see if that was something to be a consideration. But in terms of the way the program was established, there's no requirement.
So it sounds like, thanks, Patrick. So it sounds like so far what we're hearing is that option one with the minor change might have the highest level of support. Is there anybody here who would not support that as your approval on the member side? Okay, so because this is financial, why don't you like actually put your thumbs up if you support that, if you're a member? And then to the side is you're like iffy, but you're still not going to block it, and down if you wouldn't support it. And it looks like I can't see Marshall's hand.
Oh, this, that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think everybody is a thumbs up for this. That means consensus approval for the revised option one. And Marshall can convert that to a move to approve.
I move to approve the Safe Street mini grant list with the revised list provided tonight.
With the revised option one.
Revised option one.
Yeah.
And I second.
Okay. All right.
A lot to say.
Good job. There you have it, Andrea.
I appreciate your time and your help, and I apologize for that correction. But thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good evening.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thanks.
Thanks, Andrea.
Okay.
Let me take my share off.
Yeah, you can take that off. Okay, so the next topic is Major Streets and Routes Update by Ben Elias.
Hello all, how's the evening going? Let me share my screen here, just a minute. Andrea, can you stop sharing your screen?
I'm trying to, I don't know why I can never stop it. How do you stop?
How do you stop it? Colleen, where's the button? I forgot. You can just try to override it. Yeah, you can try to override it.
There, you just sent me a request, Ben. Did you get it? Can you... It looks like you're on my screen.
Yeah.
Let me try to... you let the mouse go. I don't know why. Always, let me see. Okay, hold on a second. Let me go to.
I just started sharing to kick you off, so Ben, you should.
Okay, thank you.
Good. All right. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
My name is Ben Elias. I'm a project manager here at the City of Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. I'm going to provide an overview of the Major Streets and Routes Plan and our ongoing update. Just as a baseline, we have a functional plan called the Major Streets and Routes Plan. It was established in 1982, and it's really a plan and a map that goes along with it, that identifies our major streets. It helps guide our future improvements in the rights of way. And it also establishes setbacks, zoning setbacks from the right of way, so that we can attempt to accommodate a lot of uses going on, ideally without employing demolition or a lot of acquisition of adjacent property. For reference, the picture on the left is our current Major Streets and Routes Plan map. It's a little small here, but just a quick overview. Anything that's a darker line is gonna be an arterial street, a higher volume street. Anything that's a little bit thinner line is gonna be our collector network. We also have blue and green lines that show if there's scenic or gateway streets, which we're really not touching, but just for reference. And then also in the south of the city, we have some kind of special roads that are, that's Aerospace Parkway and Sonoran Corridor, which a lot of these roads are not really built out, but they are mapped out as future major roads. So with these two street designations, arterial and collector, we map out what our transportation system looks like in the city and identifies those future rights of way, so that as we update those roads, we have some space to work with and deliver those roadway investments. So why are we updating major streets and routes? It's already been updated over the years. And this is done generally in a piecemeal fashion to reflect changing conditions. But the major piece is it hasn't been updated in about 10 years' time. We can do a lot to better reflect our priorities when it comes to transportation and mobility. It reaffirms our commitment to complete streets, and we can utilize the Tucson Street Design Guide to better hone in our recommendations for the updates. Mayor and council have already provided us direction as staff to return to them with some more detailed recommendations and update the map. The other piece of this, while you all are the Complete Streets Coordinating Council, we also have to think about the impact to development. This is actually part of our UDC, so it has some land use implications. And the major streets and routes plan has standards that are applied to developments, and they're triggered in certain situations. So if there's a new structure that's being constructed and it's adjacent to one of those streets that's called out in major streets and routes, these standards would be used. The same goes for any change in use. So if there was a new structure on a vacant parcel, or if there's an expansion of the floor area of an existing structure. So if you added on to an existing structure and added 25% more square footage, this would also be triggered if you were on a major street. What we're looking at right now is over a year of work on us dissecting every single street segment in the major streets and routes plan, looking at citywide, but really fine-grained detail. And we've come up with a few key recommendations. The biggest piece of the pie is where we are suggesting a reduction in the future right-of-way width. So we might have planned that we have space for 150 feet in the future right-of-way, and we aren't going to build out to that whole 150 feet. Generally, we're moving away from widenings. We're trying to avoid that at all costs, given all of the different road users that we have to accommodate into the future. And we're shifting our thinking on what our roads can deliver. So that's 43% of our recommendations are to take what was on the major streets and routes plan already, and reduce that overall future right-of-way width. 31% is basically no change, equal to the value that exists in current MSNR. So no change in that width. Basically what we had previously will work for us fine now. And then 22% is where we're really at a situation where we're kind of at final build out for that road corridor. We would essentially have to match our right of way with the existing property lines. So we wouldn't be pushing beyond those existing property lines. And you see this a lot in the downtown core, where we're not going to move buildings, and we're going to keep essentially the outside of our existing right of way. A very small percentage is being proposed to be removed from the major streets and routes map, and I'll show you some examples of that. Just to put this into reference, this is the same intersection at Park and Drexel on the left side. This shows our right-of-way widths that are called out currently in the major streets and routes plan. And on the right, we would be recommending a reduction on both this section of Park and Drexel. So that skinnies up, that narrows the future right-of-way width that we might need for those two streets. And with the adjacent parcel, that also increases the area for potential development, infill development. It essentially gives us the ability to sell that back to a property owner or a developer that wants to move that property line closer to the right of way. Citywide, this is kind of what we're looking at, high level snapshot of those recommendations. So in pink, you're seeing those reductions. Yellow is roads that are staying the same as they are in the current plan. And then blue, a lot of that is in the downtown core, but also with some corridors that were recently built out with RTA projects. So that's pretty much final build out. We're not going to need anything beyond that, we think. So we can just keep that to the existing property lines. Marshall, you have a question?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, are the measurements the width of the road?
Correct. So
okay.
If it's zero, it's equal to the existing property lines. But if there's a value that's on the line segment, that relates to how many feet wide the future right-of-way width would be.
Okay, thank you.
Just to show that visually in another way, again, the majority of our recommendations would be a reduction, but you can also see the other recommendations. The other piece that we're looking at are reclassifications. So again, going back to what types of roads we have, we are of arterials and collectors, but a reclassification would look at a situation where a collector might need to be changed to an arterial or vice versa. In the situation of a reclassification where we would be looking to say, hey, we said this is an arterial, those traffic volumes are pretty low, people aren't using it like an arterial. The numbers, the data shows us that people really use it like a collector. So we should treat it like a lower volume street and designate it as such in the major streets and routes plan. And that's more of a functional thing for the department so that we can invest in the proper way that relates to an arterial, relates to a collector. And same goes for a local street. Local streets aren't in this plan, but we treat them a little differently. We also have additions and removals. So additions, if maybe a local street is getting really utilized, traffic volumes are high, we're thinking it acts more like a collector now, so it should be on the major streets and routes plan and needs to be added. Similarly, removals, collectors might truly act more like local streets and have very low volume, very low travel, so we could remove it from the major street streets and routes. At a citywide snapshot, this is what it looks like. Ben, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you very much. Just curious, how is this going to, I'm sure the property owners love having that extra land to develop, but how is this going to impact certain underground utilities like Cox Communications, who may already have their utilities installed underground in the right-of-way that is now going to become private property? Thank you.
Sure. There are some agreements that we can come to, essentially easements, but that's more of a real estate conversation. We have a real estate division that regularly deals with utility easements. For the most part, utilities are going to be not always located on the very edge of our rights of way. Sometimes they are. But utilities are Utility companies have been a stakeholder in our ongoing conversations. We're making them aware of these recommendations, and we'll be very interested to see what they have to say about our plan. So I don't necessarily have all the answers from the utility perspective right now, but they have been made aware of our recommendations for this update. This is the map of, again, reclassifications, additions, and removals. A note on removals too, some of these roads were never built, and maybe we don't really intend to build them. You can see sometimes they're really out of our jurisdiction. So Davis-Monthan Air Force Base, some of those gates that enter into that government-owned property, those should be removed from our list because they're really not our jurisdiction to deal with. And then timeline, next steps, we've really created these recommendations for future rights of way, done some internal reviews. We've also reached out to some external stakeholders. We're currently presenting this update more widely and soliciting feedback from neighbors, from stakeholders like yourself. Planning and Development Services also has a development stakeholders group that regularly meets. We've been updating them. We recently launched a website, and it's a story map website, so it really runs you through all of these things. And we're collecting public comments on an interactive feedback map, an online survey, and then we also have some upcoming events. We have a virtual meeting tomorrow evening, an in-person meeting at Donald Ligon Center on Saturday. And the ultimate goal is to refine our updates, our recommended update, and then take it before Planning Commission for a study session and then a public hearing, and eventually get it to Mayor and Council for their consideration and potential adoption. I'm going to pause really quickly if anybody has questions. And if not, I'm going to just quickly go through what our website looks like. It orients folks to what the plan is. We create a cute little slider tool that shows some aerial maps of neighborhoods and streets and their adjacent land uses from 1955 and 2023 to see how roads have impacted the layout of our city. But really, it runs you through basically all of the information in even greater detail that I just presented. All of these maps are interactive. You can zoom in and out. You can click individual segments and view all the data associated with it. So they're pulling out the individual layers of our recommendations, showing our proposal in a more final state. And then people can also drop a pin on those specific areas they might be interested in and provide feedback. You can also like a comment that's already been put down. And then there's also a survey, a timeline for the update, and a survey at the very bottom. Zach, do you have a question? Zach?
Sorry, every time I keep going to unmute myself, like a menu pops up from the side of my screen, so it's really annoying. Yeah, I had a quick question, or maybe not so quick. I'm curious, what type of attributes led to the 31% of streets not having a change under the new the proposed update?
That's a great question. So and I'll also hop into our website, because there are some helpful cross sections that we've put in there to help orient folks to how we came up with some of these recommendations. Mm-hmm. So let me share my screen once again. I apologize. This is showing that right-of-way, the proposed right-of-way changes. On the left side, we have an excerpt from the Tucson Street Design Guide. And in that, there's more prescriptive potential cross-sections of roadways. So for basically every road segment in the city, mostly looking at collectors and arterials and things that might act like collectors or arterials, we did a very deep dive and created a spreadsheet with many, many attributes of roads and how they act. But one of them was the characteristics of roads and how they could be reoriented within a general right-of-way width. So if you pick out one of these, that the recommendation might be to keep the same and look at the value 90 feet. We can actually look at what 90 feet, one version of what 90 feet of right-of-way can get you. And that's pretty ample pedestrian space, 7 feet of sidewalk, 2 foot buffers, 7 feet of planting, a substantial bicycling, protected bike lane, on-street parking, and two travel lanes. And this, again, this 90 feet could be dramatically shifted in how it's oriented, but still using the Tucson Street Design Guide as a basis for what we think is appropriate. So we took things into account like what is identified in Move Tucson, if there's a Move Tucson identified project, and cross sections of what we could feasibly build in that future right of way. So in many instances, you know, even if we don't have 90 feet fully built out in that right of way, we're understanding what can we put there that really will respond to the Complete Streets policy. A lot of it comes down to the curb to curb width. If we have space for a pedestrian area back of curb, is it really just reconfiguring the space that we have curb to curb? And in about a third of the instances, the value that we had previously in the plan will work well for us moving forward. But many of our roads had very excessive future right-of-way widths up to 150, 200, 400 feet of right-of-way. We're not really planning on building a freeway through town with 400 feet of right-of-way. So many of those former right-of-way values were kind of reined in and have been more responsive to the Complete Streets policy.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
Other questions? Marshall? Yeah. Oh, Marshall, go.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand, you know, we've had some different groups come through here. We had the one for the changing some zoning for some certain properties. We had the Plan Tucson, and now your kind of presentation for major streets and roads. What's the kind of like end goal of doing this one?
It's a little twofold, because one, the major streets and routes plan, DTM is actually a customer, where PDSD is provides the framework that speaks more to maybe the land use perspective. Okay. But DTM uses the major streets and routes plan as a framework for what roads we can build, particularly the major arterials and collectors that create the backbone of our transportation network here in Tucson. We also have a growing network of mobility options like bike boulevards or a frequent transit network that also kind of layers onto some of those arterials and collectors. But it sets us up for delivering future transportation and mobility investments. The other side of things is that it does speak to providing additional opportunity for development, infill development, where we don't need those maybe excessive future rights of way, and we can provide additional space for development and less restrictive setbacks from future rights of way. So it also has the potential to speak to the community corridors tool, which was recently passed and is now implemented. The CCT uses the major streets and routes and those identified on the MSNR plan could make properties eligible under the community corridors tool.
I see. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other comments or questions?
Hey, Tani, may I jump in again? Sorry.
Please. Yes.
Yeah, one thing I want to clarify is that what this is really describing is kind of what we need as DTM to execute our future projects. What it is not showing or implying is that if we are reducing future right-of-way, that there will be any sort of vacation or reconveyance of any previously publicly owned right-of-way back to the private side. So that's going to happen on a parcel-by-parcel basis. As developers come in, it will provide that opportunity to potentially purchase city right-of-way. But if we're going from 90 to 76 feet, that 14 feet doesn't automatically become the property of you know, the private entity.
Okay. Any final comments? Yeah, so everybody click on there. I have to say, Ben, I got a little sidetracked with your little slider tool.
Yes.
Really cool. I wish it was for all the streets.
It's very fun. We tried to make it functional, but also fun and informational. Hopefully it does not put people to sleep. But there's a lot of information there. Feel free to interact with this. It's more of an informational item, but we would love for you and your networks to provide feedback if you have any on this update.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. So the next topic we have is Plan Tucson letter, a complete streets coordinating council letter of support, essentially. And Marshall has a draft that you're going to introduce, and then I can share screen, Marshall. Should I do that now?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. You want to give a little background reminders to people?
Yeah. So we've had a couple of presentations from Plan Tucson. Plan Tucson is the kind of master plan for Tucson that hasn't been updated since 2013. So they've been working on a update to that. It comes with about 14 goals. Some of those goals relate directly to what we do on our council here. So I think in our last meeting, we decided that to get a letter written and in front of the council tonight to a letter of approving kind of the plan and then encouraging voters to pass it in November of this year. So I kind of took some suggestions that we had and that we had last month. I put together the letter kind of framework, basically what Sophia did for the last letter for the community tool corridor tool. I kind of took her framework and kind of wrote a letter around the Plan Tucson facts, and then included some of the stuff how it ties back to our council. So we have that here tonight.
Okay, so basically, if you all will review the letter, I guess it's just a little longer than this, and we'd want to make any edits and get agreement, ideally, get agreement on it, if not, or not agreement. It's only going to go out as a CSCC letter if there's consensus support for it. Otherwise, I guess individuals could send their own version of this. So why don't you all just take a look at these first four paragraphs, and then we'll look at the second four.
And I was going to say for the letter, I was just going to like kind of keep the framework how we have it tonight, and then we'll have the edits. But there won't be substantial edits after tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
You read and then just raise your hand. If you have a comment. Sam?
Right, thanks. So I did have a comment on, I believe, the third paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
And so the beginning of that paragraph, I think it'd be, better worded if we said something like, through numerous public engagement, Plan Tucson created, the Plan Tucson team created 14 goals.
Through numerous or?
Just something to say that it was through public engagement. It wasn't necessarily the Plan Tucson group that, was really community driven.
You can check, correct. Something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Other suggestions? So this means that you, oh, there's an extra. Oh. I think there's an extra thing there.
Oh yeah, because that next sentence where you just deleted the apostrophe was part of the what I took from the from the webpage. I'm not sure how to cite stuff in a letter like this, so I have to figure out how to do that.
Okay. But it's not substantive, you'll just correct that. Okay, yeah. Let's look at the remainder of it. Sam, do you have another item, or is it your hand is still up? Okay.
Sorry.
No worries. James.
Just a clarifying question. We're asking the Plan Tucson to be just put on the ballot, correct? Like that's the move that we're supporting.
Right.
I think it's already it is going to be on the ballot. We just our support is for the passage.
Oh, okay.
I think mayor and council has to vote to put it on the ballot.
Yeah. Do they vote to put it on the ballot? Okay.
So that I don't.
You could clarify that here, that you support it going on the ballot. You support the plan and that it be put on the ballot.
Okay. That's a good catch then.
Yeah, because that was part of the timing, right, around getting this letter now, because mayor and council, it's going to go before mayor and council. Whenever in May, I can't remember when.
So it's not you're supporting the adoption. You support Plan Tucson and it's blank on the ballot. What's the verb? Sorry. And it's inclusion on the ballot. It's going before voters. Placement on the ballot.
Yeah, placement, I think is a good word.
Okay, Ben is saying in the chat that they voted last night to put it on the ballot.
Sorry, just to communicate, if I can jump in, they voted to schedule the special election. The plan itself is still in the development phase. There's still some time for folks to provide comment, but the mayor and council have voted to forward it to the public to vote on
Oh, so it's
at a certain date.
okay, so. Any other, Ryan?
Just a suggestion. Maybe it could be Supports Plan Tucson 2025, like in its current form or something like that. Just since it sounds like it's going on the ballot, but it hasn't been determined, it's not finalized yet, or some variation of that. Just a thought.
It's near final. It's just final things. In its current form. Okay, Zach.
Down at the CC, Council Member Nikki Lee's first name is spelled incorrectly. It has two K's. Also, I don't know if she prefers Councilwoman or Council Member.
Does
I don't.
anybody happen to know that? Well, let's just make her equivalent for
Yeah,
now.
it's just how I saw it. This is how I copied it over from Sophie's
Sure.
letter. Yeah, but
Sure.
we'll make sure we get that correct.
Okay. Anything else?
Up at the top, I was just unsure the number of members in the. I had the two
Well,
count.
there's 17 people on the list.
Okay.
18 because non-voting is a member. Should we just put the, is it
Yeah.
18
But that's
common?
the number of seats, not all those seats are currently filled, so I don't know if.
Yeah.
That's why I was unsure. Should we just put the number of filled seats?
Isn't it 18?
Well, 18 is the seats, but not the filled seats. There's 11 filled seats
Oh, okay.
plus one
Including.
non-voting. There would be 12 if we include the non-voting seat that's filled.
Well, the non-voting is still considered a member.
So that's filled. Those are the currently occupied seats, or I don't know what the term is. Whatever.
You could say who represent, raise yourselves up, who represent different, parts of the city or who were appointed, whatever. Any other tweaks here? Sam, you have another?
When is this letter going to be turned in? I think Mr. Fimbres,
Oh, this is
his.
really old date here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we have a new date too.
What? Today's the 23rd,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Council Member Fimbres is stepping down as of May 1st, so if it goes out before then, I think it's appropriate to address him on there.
Okay.
Am I gonna get it out next week?
I think as soon as you are able to send it to me, I will get it. I don't have any control over how over it getting
Okay.
how it gets to them, but I can certainly get that started before then, whenever you send me the final version.
Okay.
So then you're the, so what we would be seeking now is that these very small little edits.
Oh, and then I have to put a after where I have 3, 6, and 8. I need it 3, 6, and 8. And another one. Yeah, just little things.
Okay. So with these small corrections and enhancements, what we're seeking now is there any of you members who would not support this letter? Okay, then let's have you make sure your screens are on, all members, and then put your thumbs up high. Or put your if or to the side or down, not just up. Jennifer, is that support? Okay. Looks like we've got full consensus support. Do you want to move to approve the adoption of this, or the consensus support of this letter to be sent to Mayor and Council and all the CC names? Marshall.
Okay. I move to approve the adoption of the Plan Tucson support letter by the Complete Streets Coordinating Council to the Tucson City Council.
And I second.
Okay, excellent. Now I have to go back to the agenda. One second, I'm sorry. I'm operating just on a laptop with all the shared screens and everything. Okay, so we are, because Sophia's not here, she was proposing the starting of a conversation regarding sidewalks in the city and connector, you know, where there's missing pieces of sidewalk and accessibility related to sidewalks. Because she's not here, we'll just try to include this topic in next month's agenda. So we'll proceed to the CSCC hub. And in some cases, we don't have anybody here, but maybe there's somebody else who can represent these interests. So the first is the Independent Oversight Accountability Commission. Jim is not here. Is anybody else up to date on commission proceedings? Okay.
Next week is the next IOAC meeting. I don't have any information other than that, but I believe actually they are looking at approval of the phase two of residential streets under Prop 411. Patrick or somebody else, correct me if I'm mistaken, but I believe that, you know, phase two of three is essentially being is up for consideration. So all the neighborhoods that would be repaved in like the next, what I think, like 2026 to 2028 or something like that, or 2027 to 2029, would be up for consideration.
Okay, excellent. Park Tucson, Jill is not here. Anybody have insight into Park Tucson? Tucson Transit Advisory Committee, Riley also not here. But James is here for Bicycle Advisory Committee.
Am I the only hub here?
Zach is too.
Oh, Zach. small update for the bike committee. We met quorum last week. So we had a meeting, which was great. There are sort of two ongoing projects that we have taken upon ourselves. One is the bike theft issue on U of A campus. Specifically getting access to the bait bike program data. In order to do that, we had to submit a letter, and I think it was just sent or should have been formally requesting the data in an official manner. That's what they said we had to do in order to get it. Unclear what it will show, but this is just an issue we want to, at the very least, start talking about more because it affects a lot of people. And it ends up persuading them not to bike. The second is we sent a letter, or we're drafting a letter about the intersection of Sabino Canyon and Tega Verde. A lot of the cyclists in the area think that it is a very unsafe intersection, and yet it's in the middle of a highly trafficked and sought after bike route, and so they're asking the city to look into either alternative routes or safety upgrades or something like that. And I think that letter also should be submitted now-ish. We approved it at the end of the last meeting. That's all I have. Thanks.
Any questions or comments for James? Okay, how about Commission on Disability Issues, Zach.
Hello, thanks. At our last meeting, we met with SunTran representatives on their draft Sun Van, which is the paratransit component of the SunTrans service, on their draft of the comprehensive operational analysis. While that analysis had some helpful efficiencies in terms of phone service, it also proposed cutting some optional service area hours, and the commission is going to follow up with a memo to mayor and council on our opinions about that later. Ward 2 is also hosting a open house or a discussion session next Monday at 2 p.m. on the Sun Van COA. So,
Thanks, Zach. Comments or questions for Zach? Okay. Commission, so now the final item, wrap up future agenda items, DTM update. The first thing is co-chair's 6-month nomination. So 6 months-ish is the co-chair term. It's a very easy job in the, well, I'm saying that I'm not a co-chair, but it's 1 hour meeting to set the agenda with Ryan, Colleen, and myself, and we talk through it and kind of create the agenda, co-create the agenda. That's basically the time commitment of the co-chairs. So we have Marshall and Sophia, and we have had co-chairs continue, but it's nice to cycle people through and give people the chance to be in on the agenda setting part of the CSCC. So we want to open up for nominations now, and then we would, the idea would be, I believe, Ryan, is in next month we would approve if a new co-chair. So right now it's, you could put your name out there as well as anytime in the next month, and then we'll come back to this to finalize it next month. Is anyone interested? Or do co-chairs, current and past, want to speak up to the amazing experience of co-chairing?
Oh, I think it's a lot of fun. You sit here, you get to set the agenda every month, so could be even more in charge.
Who doesn't want to set an agenda? Not that I want to, you guys have been great. All the co-chairs so far in the history of the CSCC have been really good. So you can think on that, and then if you feel like you do want, it's only a 6-month commitment. So just email Ryan, or and then we'll come back. We'll re revisit this next month.
And sorry, Tony, just to clarify, former co-chairs can re-up.
Yes.
There's no term limit.
Yeah, so former or current, right? So I mean, in the event
Former, current,
Marshall and
and
Sophie
it's.
are interested in reserving, they
Yeah.
may also.
I mean, I can continue as long as I can. I'm okay with it.
And I'll just mention that the bylaws actually state that it can be 2 to 3 co-chairs. So if Marshall and Sophie want to stay on and someone else wants to join as a third, that is also an option.
Maybe if we start having our agenda setting meetings over a glass of wine at a local just anyway, then you won't want to miss out. We do know that one former co-chair is probably very busy with other things going on. Okay, so let's move on. Think on that and let Ryan know. DTM staff and project updates, Ryan.
Yeah, not a ton. We've got the upcoming meetings for the Major Streets and Routes update. The virtual one is tomorrow, and then the in-person one, the Donald Ligon Center on Saturday from 10 to 11:30. We have a meeting for the Sarnoff and Kenyon Bicycle Boulevards tomorrow night as well at Harold Steele Elementary School. And Patrick, I believe you have a Drexel public meeting, but on May 3rd, but I don't know the location of that.
Thanks, Ryan. That'll be at Grijalva Park at 9 a.m. on May 3rd.
Unless anyone else from DTM has any updates, I think that's it for now.
Okay, future agenda items. How about if I just, we've just kind of breezed by this in the past meetings, but we actually have a few minutes. How about if I share screen with the list, and if you can, everybody kind of read through it, and if anything strikes you that isn't on the list, or one of the items on the list that you think would be really good to do sooner rather than later. So it's quite a lengthy list.
And just FYI, the item at the top, Drexel and Gaub, I go by Spoga Boulevard. We are hoping to get those on the meeting in the meeting next month.
Okay.
Both would be like updates on the design and alignment for Galabigo.
So, are there other items here that you think we need to get to this in the next couple of months versus whenever the our small group decides to put it on the agenda?
Was there stuff? Oh, okay. Thank
Yeah, sorry. Oh, and then
Done.
pass below. So these grayed out, we did that. Oh, these are just done. We can put it to past, I guess.
I think a good one is always just kind of a update for the funding. I think it's been a few months since that.
Which one?
The funding one is kind of like a rolling one we do. Prop 411 financial update.
Like this? Oh no, that's not it.
It's
Which
up at the almost up at the very top. Right there, it's
one?
like four down, yep. Yeah.
So we could do this May next, potentially.
I'm good that we're, tackling the sidewalk, stuff, hopefully next couple meetings. What I don't know that it needs, like, I don't know if I have an opinion, but what, like, I understand what public arts projects means, but like, what, and street furniture, but what does street elements mean? Like, I wasn't quite clear on what that actually was.
Miranda, are you going to respond to that or have a new thing?
A new thing.
Okay. So who can respond to what public arts project street elements and street furniture was? I'm picturing somebody sitting in a rocking chair in the middle of a busy road. Brian, did you have the answer
Yeah,
to?
well, I mean, street furniture would be things like benches and other like amenities. Street elements, I'm guessing that's L items that are in the right of way that are encompassed by either public art or just like street furniture. But honestly, I'm not entirely sure.
Okay. Would
I
you
don't remember where this one came from.
like to have that on an agenda in the next few months? Whoever said
I don't know if I have a strong
that.
opinion on having that on an agenda. I wasn't sure what it meant exactly, so.
Okay. Miranda?
I'm kind of interested in, well, first of all, the traffic calming on major streets jumped out at me. Because I feel like we haven't discussed pedestrian safety in a while. And then related to that, I was intrigued by the community engagement plan, only because lately I've been having a lot of conversations with people about the safety of our roads. And I've just noticed that there's a need for more education around street design and traffic calming I just hear a lot of rhetoric around purely enforcement, whereas I do know that there's more data and research to support other interventions being more effective.
So I'm putting all these just May, June. The small group will look at it. It's not all going to happen May, June, but we're not to prioritize anything at the moment. Ariel.
I would just add that I'd be super interested in the community engagement plan and particularly the second part of it, the performance metrics being on the agenda. I feel like we're supposed to have performance metrics, and I'm not sure what the progress is on incorporating those and communicating them into our work.
Okay. Anything else? Let's look down here again, too. This is plenty for the small group to work with. So if you have, and that's, of course, this list. There might be other things that you think of. Okay. So the last thing is, what is the last thing? Not need to go back to it. Any Complete Streets related upcoming events? I guess not. And we're getting into summer temperatures. And so we haven't done a field trip in a while, but we're probably not needing to schedule a field trip in the heat quite yet. Anything else from you, Ryan?
No, I don't have anything. If there's any, I mean, we've proposed field trips in the past. If there's anything that anybody is interested that you'd like us to arrange, I'm happy to do so. Haven't kind of been thinking about that lately, so I don't have anything top of mind right now. But if there's any projects or just anything, any subjects that you think that anybody thinks, would merit a field visit, we'd be happy to talk about that and facilitate it.
Maybe in the future, maybe not quite right now. I noticed they started to make some progress on grant with creating sidewalks, things like that. So anything in the future related with the grant road work, I think would be interesting from a Complete Streets perspective.
So like a visit like during construction or
Yeah.
okay, we
If it's
can.
possible. Then that I started to create some sidewalks and things like that on the southern side of the road.
Okay. Yeah, I can talk to some folks and see if that might be possible.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll just note also that we have six vacant seats, and maybe that's something that we've discussed this, Ryan. But whether it's you working on it or if there are Complete Streets members that could also help find people.
What are the vacancies again?
Ward 6, Ward 5, City Manager, Mayor, Transportation Director, Transportation Director. And there's two non-voting member seats open, ADOT and PAG.
And how do people apply? Do they apply through their office or through the like city clerk's application
There's
process?
actually a special application for the CSCC. I can drop that in the chat, but that's going to go away at the end of the meeting, so I can email that out.
Awesome.
Well.
Sam, were you going to say something? No, okay. All right, yeah, why don't you do that? Because these have been vacant for a while, and there might be some really great people out there that could be added
I'm
with some
sure there
help.
are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it looks like at 7:02, oh, Miranda has people in mind. Good. All right. At 7:02, it looks like we've completed our agenda. And so, Marshall, do you want to move to adjourn?
Yeah, I move to adjourn the April meeting of the Complete Streets Coordinating Council.
And Miranda?
And I second.
Perfect. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.